My guest at this time is Larry Pratt. He is the Executive Director Emeritus at Gun Owners of America. You can find them at gunowners.org. We want to get his thoughts on a number of issues related to the gun rights debate. First, we want to get his thoughts about California Congressman Eric Swalwell calling for a ban on military-style semi-automatic rifles, urging a buyback program, and then criminally prosecuting anyone who is caught to have one after that. We also want to get his thoughts on Obama-era Education Secretary Arne Duncan urging parents en masse to just keep their kids out of school until gun control legislation is passed. And we'll take them one at a time. Larry, first of all, great to have you with us again.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Let's start with the Eric Swalwell issue. He wrote an op-ed in USA Today. He was also a guest on the Tucker Carlson program on Fox News, and they had this exchange.
You wrote it in USA Today, and you say this: we should ban possession of military-style semi-automatic assault weapons. We should buy back such weapons from all who choose to abide by the law, and we should criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So we should confiscate this entire class of firearms. What do you think would happen if the federal government tried to do that?
Well, Tucker, did you read the op-ed?
I did. I just quoted from it extensively.
Yeah, I'm not calling for a confiscation. What I'm saying is we should invest in a buyback, that we should restrict any weapons that aren't bought back to gun clubs, hunting clubs, shooting ranges, keep them there where it's safe and not on our streets. And if you were caught, just like if you were caught, you know, with drugs or anything else, if they had probable cause to go into your home and you had one of these weapons, yeah, you'd be prosecuted. I'm not.
So, Larry, that's the process here. You wouldn't send people door to door necessarily, but if you're caught in the act of something else being investigated, having a semi-automatic rifle that looks like a military weapon, you could go to jail for it. What's your reaction to not only the fact that he believes this, but is going public with it?
Well, I think it reveals a lot about the mind of those who support gun control. They really do want to go very, very far indeed, and they're willing to resort to extreme measures to do that. And I wonder what he would suggest might happen under his suggestion if there were somebody that defended themselves with an AR-15, and that happens of record quite often. Many people have saved their lives from multiple invaders of their home with their AR-15. One fellow said, yeah, I used all 30 rounds in my magazine. I had to start using my semi-automatic pistol before it was over. So who needs a 10-round magazine? Well, there are a number of people that can raise their hand to answer that one. But he is focusing on firearms that have been used for criminal purposes, and he's overlooking the fact that firearms are used four times more often every day to protect life. So he's got a fixation with a particular device, and he wants to have the weight of government brought down against it. And I don't think that's going to end well if he actually were to achieve what he wants. But frankly, at the moment, happily, the Congress is not there. Certainly the president is not there. So he's just making it easier, frankly, for the rest of us to say, look, we better not be giving these people even an inch, because you can see where they want to go.
We're talking with Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And Larry, one of the things they keep talking about is tougher and tougher gun laws. And one of the arguments from the gun rights side is, how about we enforce the gun laws that we do have, which Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, has apparently made quite a priority, so much to the point that a lot of folks on the left are now saying he's too aggressive in prosecuting people for existing gun law violations. So what's your reaction to all that?
Well, it seems that the double-mindedness of the left knows no end, and it's given rise to the observation by a number of people that if it weren't for double standards, the left would have no standards at all. These people really don't live in the real world, I don't think. And that's why I don't think they're going to be getting much traction anytime soon, and certainly when they speak this way, not likely at all.
Are you surprised that when we talk about ideas like Eric Swalwell's, that they are going public with them as opposed to sticking with what they usually talk about, stronger background checks and that sort of thing?
It seems that the former Supreme Court Justice Steve has kind of opened the door to the deeper recesses of the left's mind. He called for the elimination of the Second Amendment, and that seems to have been followed by statements being made by gun control advocates like Mr. Swalwell. But we also have to keep in mind that maybe it's not a trend. Maybe it's just California speaking, because the gentleman is from California, after all.
Well, let's talk about another statement that got quite a bit of attention, especially in the wake of the Santa Fe shooting. In fact, I believe the tweet went out that same day. Arne Duncan was education secretary for the majority of the Obama administration. One of his assistants in the education department was a guy named Peter Cunningham, who tweeted, "Maybe it's time for America's 50 million school parents to simply pull their kids out of school until we have better gun laws," which Duncan retweeted and then said, "This is brilliant and tragically necessary. What if no children went to school until gun laws changed to keep them safe? My family is all in if we can do this at scale. Parents, will you please join us?" What first comes to mind when you hear that?
Kind of a mischievous notion that maybe that's not such a bad idea. If kids weren't going to school, they wouldn't be learning all these silly things that they're taught in those classrooms. But more seriously, the fact of the matter is that we have states and areas of the country where anybody can have a concealed carry permit and bring their gun with them onto the school premises. The whole state of Utah, many parts of Ohio and Texas, other jurisdictions as well. There's actually quite a few in the country now. And we don't read about problems coming out of those places. But where we do have problems with people misusing guns is in the areas controlled by Democrats, typically the big cities or even other cities as well. So the idea of gun control is the promise is that it's going to make things better. Regardless of the promise, the results have always been things get worse. When they get rid of legal firearms ownership in places like the big cities of our country, or they make it very difficult for people to have and to carry a firearm, things get worse. So we should actually follow the lead of those jurisdictions that have had such a positive experience. When Alaska, for example, over a decade ago, made it legal to carry a firearm without even having permission from anybody in the government, their violent crime rate went down. And that's been a pattern of other states as well. Crime doesn't go up when more people are able to legally carry guns. Crime actually goes down, predictably now.
Larry, you've explained clearly why you believe that the exact opposite is needed. It's not more restrictions on gun ownership. It's gun-free zones are the problem, and places like Utah have proven that it's safer when you're allowed to carry in those situations. One of the other arguments we saw...
Let me just add that 98% of the mass murders in our country have occurred in gun-free zones. It would seem to me that's a very powerful argument for getting rid of these gun-free zones.
One of the things that, of course, happened with this Santa Fe shooting in Texas just at the end of last week is that the weapons used were a shotgun and a handgun. And as a result, there were a lot of folks on the gun rights side saying, look, there was no semi-automatic weapon here. There's no AR-15 involved. And we still have this tragedy. So your arguments for banning semi-autos doesn't even come into effect here. Wouldn't have made any difference. And the argument from the gun control side, though, is, well, that just shows that any gun is a danger in this situation. So in addition to what you've already explained, how would you rebut that particular argument?
Well, again, I think we have to direct our attention to experience. And our experience is that gun-free zones are like a magnet for murderers and muggers and other criminals. If we are serious about making people safe, we're going to invite them to be able to protect themselves, to have a gun with them if they so choose. We have to keep in mind that when the police are called, it's going to be generally a minimum of 5 minutes before they can arrive on the scene. And that's not a knock on the police. That's just a fact of life that they're not our personal bodyguards. They're wherever they are, but they're not necessarily right where we are. And most dirtbags don't choose to attack people when the police are nearby anyway. So, again, I think the solution is let's get rid of the gun-free zones. Let's look at the data, which shout. Gun-free zones are the invitation for murderers. Let's tell the potential murderers in the future. You think of something like that, and you may be the first to go.
Last question for you, Larry. Obviously, it appears that folks on the left are trying to make this a major campaign issue, the push for gun control, the argument that the Republican-controlled Congress and President Trump haven't done anything about it, et cetera, et cetera. What are you seeing in terms of passion on this issue? How motivated do you think your members are, and how do you expect this to break down coming forward politically?
Well, I'm glad that people like former Justice, Supreme Court Justice Stevens, have openly declared where so many of the gun control side want to go. They want to get rid of all our guns. And the more they talk like that, the more they're going to motivate the pro-Second Amendment, pro-constitutional voter. This hasn't worked out well for them in the past, and I'm amazed that they don't look at these historical events in our elections. The first big bump in the road in recent times they hit was in 1994, when they had just enacted a semi-auto ban in the Congress, and the Democrats lost control of the House of Representatives. And it's hurt them in other elections as well. Al Gore was a big champion of gun control, and he lost rather famously. So this is something that is not just a one-off problem for the Democrats. And if they want to campaign this way, we've got enough experience now that I can sit back and say, well, good. Keep on doing that.
Well, Larry, of course, the fact that we're having this conversation is largely due to the fact that 10 people were killed at Santa Fe High School at the end of last week. And our hearts obviously break for those families. But we do thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate talking with you again.
Thank you. Larry Pratt, Executive Director Emeritus at Gun Owners of America. Find them online, gunowners.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.